Hello and thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Rima Jain, CIO of Unilever. Rima, my first question to you is, how is the role of the CIO changing in the age of AI? And I know that's a big question, so let's try and make it really short to start with.
So the role of the CIO is fundamentally changing in this new world, evolving from a pure technologist to a true commercial leader. What I really mean is, from we are, you know, shifting from delivering IT and technology to being at the center of business strategy, unlocking enterprise-wide value. Success is now getting defined by enterprise impact rather than a technology delivery. Mm-hmm. And thanks to all the new innovation avenues opened up by AI, the conversation is now shifting from what technology we should deploy to what value and opportunity we can create. So the next gen technology is all about unlocking entire new frontiers, creating business opportunity that were previously unimaginable.
Mm. I mean, I guess that opens up one of the sort of big questions for technology leaders. And from your own sort of personal perspective and your experience, what are your hopes as to how technology will shape society going forward?
So I'm a firm believer that the technology, the true power of technology is realized when it moves from classes to masses, right? That's where the impact really comes. And when technology moves beyond isolated use case and deliver value, it really impacts people and community.
Yes, yes. Now, I was looking at your LinkedIn profile in preparation for this interview. And I think in a recent post, you were talking about how IT transformation programs or business transformation programs, sorry, not IT. And they don't fail, you said, because of technology. They fail because of complexity. Now, I know Computer Weekly writes a lot about complexity, and IT systems are very complex. So what my question is what do you mean by complexity?
So I can give you, take on this. First one is about, you know, what I mean is the complexity is beyond technical issue. And when I say that most transformation fail due to complexity, I mean that organization and process complexity surrounding this technology and not the tech itself. Often the technology works is the metrics of legacy process, siloed decision-making, too many priorities or stakeholders that bog the project down. That's something, you know, kind of becomes a hindrance. The second one is simplification is a success. If you more simple, you make your process, more simple, you make your landscape. It could add to a success factor. Complex IT landscape, multiple overlapping system processes breed confusion and so progress. So successful transformation needs focus and simplification, clarifying goals, streamlining processes, and reducing duplicated effort. We try to rally around simplification and speed in everything that we do so that complexity doesn't derail outcome. And last but not the least, my personal favorite is people and change management. So having been in the industry from last, 25, 26 years, what I've learned is that whichever technology transformation you go through, whether it's cloud, whether it's digital, and now AI wave, right? The job is not about technology itself. The job is about people and trust. Each wave, the temptation is to lead with the tool. What actually moves an organization is whether people believe you understand their world and have their back. Mm-hmm. In fact, the tech is an easy part. Bringing people with you in this journey is much more important. And the second most important thing, which, you know, I've started to believe very recently, is in this world where, you know, everything is changing so fast, right? Every single day, there is a new transformation of technology is evolving. The new AI is disrupting every single day. What you're operating with is not a complete information. You know, what you know today might be irrelevant tomorrow. And earlier, you know, when I was doing these kind of job, I thought I have all the answers, but it isn't anymore. So when when the things are changing so fast and when you don't yourself have all the answers, it's for you to kind of steer your people clear with direction they can act on, and the honesty to say that we will learn and adjust. Team can run fast, you know, if you kind of provide that clarity, even though there's a lot of fog around the ecosystem. I think that's something which will succeed for some of these transformations. So clarity beats certainty.
Mm. I mean, normally at this point in the conversation, and given what you've just spoken about all of the different technology changes, without mentioning many of them, there are so many, and I've been in the industry about the same amount of time as you, from the shift at Y2K from mainframe to client server, service oriented architecture. I would go through all of them, but every CIO and CTO I speak to we talk about this stuff. But I would normally talk about, well, this technical debt and legacy, but rather than talk about that, I'm quite interested in looking at this idea that you call it the fog, this idea of uncertainty, and how does one prepare both yourself in your personal, how do you prepare for that? And how do you ready your team for that?
So again, as I said, how the world is changing, right? Prepare for that and making your team ready for it. I think the biggest thing for us is to kind of lead by example, which means what I do really is I play around with a lot of these tech, I learn and understand. And a lot of time, my strategy is just not on the PowerPoint. I make sure that there's a lot of hands-on playing on these tools, which happens, which kind of open my eyes really that art of possible. And that's what my team has started to do as well. You know, learning, understanding how the technology is shaping and what is the art of possible. Staying very close to the value, right? Which means, as you unlock power of the technology, you also have to have an appreciation where the value unlock will really happen. And as you kind of combine both in terms of how technology is shaping and how you can unlock value, the possibilities are immense. And that's what we do on a day-to-day basis, challenge ourselves, understand, learn. And sometimes you say, you don't have all the answers, but it's okay. I'm going to take a leap of faith and go forward. And we will pivot if we have made a wrong decision.
Mm. I mean, how does yourself and the technology team, I mean, you have these great ideas, you're playing around with things, but how do you, or can you give examples of how you're sort of driving, you and the team are driving transformation at Unilever?
So for us at Unilever, we don't do, as I said, AI for the sake of AI. Staying close to where the value lies is very, very important. We often say fall in love with the problem, not the solution. We shape a practitioner-led approach where technology initiatives are clearly tied to business outcome. From faster innovation cycle to better customer experience, this approach already is delivering results. You know, so there are a few examples I can talk about. For example, in supply chain, our factories, AI-powered digital twin in Unilever factories are cutting energy consumption, optimizing ingredients, and delivering superior quality for our products across our global manufacturing network. For example, by boosting capacity by 10% at our personal care factory in Rayford, North Carolina, in US. In Haldia, India, we've cut energy needed to produce our home care lines, delivering on Unilever's climate target. Then in procurement, our competitive buying solution is transforming the future of sourcing and negotiation. It brings together real-time internal and external data into a single intelligent interface, enabling buyers to make faster, more informed decisions across contracting, sourcing, and negotiation, reducing overall analysis time from days to minutes. And marketing, which is, very core to us. There, our creative teams are using AI to produce impactful content at speed and unlock customer insights to drive reach, engagement, scale. A great example is how AI is reinventing the marketing lifecycle, delivering insights and optimizing performance to rapidly analyze consumer response to create messaging is Dove's Change the Compliment campaign. So that's a campaign built on top of, you know, how AI can, you know, drive some insight. And that was hugely successful campaign. The other one I can think about is that research shows that even by the age of 10, as I was talking about, Dove, absolutely creative marketing is Dove Change the Compliment campaign. Research shows that even by the age of 3, girls prioritize looks more than boys. And by adolescence, over 60% feel pressured to be beautiful, often at the expense of confidence. The challenge was, how do we shift our conversation in this campaign from appearance-based compliment for girls to celebrate characters, value, and achievement? Totally, those insights generated by AI made it hugely successful. So technology alone doesn't create transformation. People do. And at Unilever, putting AI into the hands of our people with a beginner's mindset is important. We often say we are putting I into AI, and some other stats through our AI Academy, Executive Fast Leadership Program, and hands-on experimentation. We are building a culture of continuous learning across the organization as well.
I mean, I just want to, again, going back to LinkedIn, when people post on LinkedIn, it's in the public domain. So you were talking about International Women's Day, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I'm just bringing up the example you gave with Dove. And I guess it was quite profound, some of the things you said about believing in yourself. Could you share that with our audience, please?
Okay, all right. okay, so a lot of it is, I don't know how, like a lot of, I speak to a lot of women, I mentor a lot of women also. One of the things which I see, right, that we are not very kind to ourselves. A lot of time we critique ourselves too much. So even if, so let's say there is a job out there, we will 20 times think whether we are ready or not for the job, right? And just not, you know, go with a leap of faith and say, you know what, I think I'm ready. I maybe, these are the weaknesses I have, but I will, you know what, I will go and learn through the journey and figure it out. A lot of time we self-doubt ourselves. And, you know, there was an interesting conversation I was having with with someone today. And we were talking about that, in our mind, we have a critique and a coach. Sometimes we let our critique overpower us. You know, you're not ready. These are the different gap you have today. But we don't let the coach to prevail over the critic. So I think what we need to do is the coach really within our mind to prevail and say, okay, fine, you're not ready. These are the gaps, but let's go with a leap of faith. Let's learn and you know, and believe in yourself, right? So I think that's what I really mean by, you know, believing ourselves, that have more confidence, let your coach take over your critique and go all out, when you want to sign up for a new job.
Well, I mean, you're obviously in a very powerful position as the CIO of a massive consumer packaged goods company. I mean, from your own sort of personal history and, you know, and your career development, how has that kind of coach versus critique helped you?
Many times, right? And a lot of time when there's an opportunity comes your way, you know, having that confidence in yourself and believing yourself and saying, you know, fine, I'm going to do it. Having that, you know, I would say taking that leap of faith is very, very important. So it's not that I sometimes when I take a role, I don't have self-doubt. A lot of time I have that self-doubt that will I be able to do this role? But then, you know, again, I let the coach, you know, prevail. And a lot of times what happens is the mentors in the ecosystems really help, right? So I go to a lot of my mentors, coaches, and I ask them. That also really helps. So I've been really lucky to have some fantastic mentors and coaches who have helped me through the journey. And that, I think, has made me who I am today.
I was a couple of months ago, I did a podcast end of February, with a company actually in the sort of entertainments business. But we were looking at their supply chain, which is talent. They provide performers for cruise ships, for instance. You know, this is their idea. And I was just thinking about the example that you gave in procurement. And I wanted to ask you whether, because they're using agentic AI, and how agentic AI sort of helps you or is helping you. Are you using it in procurement? I can imagine that you must have hundreds of thousands of, you know, contracts that you deal with. And I mean, we've spoken about little pieces of the supply chain throughout this conversation, but I was wondering whether that's an opportunity. Is that something you're developing?
So there are, in procurement also, there are capabilities which we have developed, you know, whether it's about procurement GPT, providing that insight and intelligence back to our buyers. So there are capabilities which we have been building in our procurement function around the same lines. You know, competitive buying is one thing which I said, but there are other things which we are exploring across the value chain.
Well, I guess it's about streamlining. You know, this example, the case study that I did, it was all about streamlining that process so that you know, if you're dealing with many different suppliers, it's making it easy to get the contracts through, basically, and have them on the various systems that, you know, your supplier management system or whatever. But moving on. Rima, what's your advice to CIOs who want to help their organizations transform digitally? And that, I mean, it's a big question. And I think throughout this conversation, you've touched on some of the themes, but it's worth revisiting. So I'll say that again. I mean, how do you advise your own team? There's going to be people who are in a senior sort of position, and even the people we were talking earlier about trying new technology, and somehow you have to try and do that in a way that thinking about what it means to the business, I guess. I mean, a piece of technology for the sake of technology is probably not going to get you very far. CIOs who want to transform their business digitally, what should they be doing?
Good question. So 2-3 points I can talk about. The first one being keeping technology tied to business value, right? That's really, really the core. Ensure every technology initiative answers this question: how will this drive the business forward? Successful digital transformation isn't about trendy tech for its own sake. It's about solving concrete business problem. As CIO, champion a business-first mindset and translate tech potential into clear ROI or improved capability that leadership and teams understand. The second one I can think about, and I spoke earlier as well, is about people and culture. Technology doesn't transform companies alone, people do. Make sure you bring your teams along by building strong digital skills and culture of innovation. For example, we embed in extensive AI learning and upskilling, so employee feels confident about adopting new tools. The culture is also about, you know, being a culture of, you know, learning. I think we all need to be, you know, me, including my team, needs to be permanent learner. And we have to make learning really, I would say, cheap. What I mean is, don't wait for big reinvention moment. Build small, constant loop, a few hours a week, genuinely playing with what's new, not reading about it. With AI especially, fluency comes from using it and not studying it. So that's one big change as a leaders we need to start bringing. And last but not the least, leveraging partnerships. So no CIOs have all the answers, internally. Be open to external innovation, whether via an external partnership like Google, or, you know, as I said, about or learning from your peers and industry. Make sure you leverage your partnership to continue to evolve, and be curious, right? fine, I don't have all the answers, but I will learn, I'll adapt myself. Saying that, oh, this is how we have done in the last 12 years, 20 years, and this is how it has to be done, doesn't work in this world. So stay curious, adapt yourself, and encourage your team and yourself to continuously learn with new competencies.
Okay, and finally, I mean, I think we've probably covered this before, but it's worth addressing again as a specific question. From your own personal perspective, how do you stay focused? And I'll also say, how do you ensure your team stay focused? I have a feeling that it's easy to apply technology and understand new technologies when it applies to yourself and the job that you do day to day. So we see this with the co-pilots and things, and you know, people say, oh, I can do this with it because I use this every day. But to think broader and how it applies to the business. This is an IT business alignment thing, but the technology can change business. So we've spoken that about that at the beginning. Being able to recognize that other parts of the business can benefit from this must be quite a hard thing to do if you are not an expert in that part of the business.
That's a great question. See, that's why, you know, business empathy is a very, very key skill which we all have to develop as leaders, and even the teams have to develop, right? While we all are technologists, we need to have great appreciation of a business. And sometimes that comes when you start working very closely with your business partners, staying close to the operations. And that's where you understand what problems are there in your, in the part of the business. And then see how can I really solve using a technology. So we have got this product structure where, there are product teams who actually work very closely with the business teams, for example, procurement, finance, business partnering, finance products. So they work very, very closely and are integrated part of the business teams. So they understand what's really happening, what's the problem which we are trying to solve, and then see how do we apply the technology in order to solve some of these problems. So I think having that business empathy, understanding what's really happening, and then seeing how can you unlock the key value really from the technology is a key aspect, which I would say. And that comes with experience, that comes staying focused, that comes staying curious, and learning and understanding overall, business well.
You can find the article on www.computerweekly.com and the podcast on iTunes and Amazon Music.